You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Would you pray with me? Jesus, I stand before you so grateful that I am not part-time changed by your mercy. That I am not every once in a while covered by your grace. I thank you that forever, I am changed by your mercy. I thank you for the death of Jesus and his resurrection, washing away my sin, washing away our sin. God, you are so good. You are so good. Amen. I realize I say that every time. This past week, some of you know that I went to the, I was able to go with the Beamers and my wife and the Coopers to the Catalyst Conference in Atlanta. I've been going to this conference for years, and I'll tell you a little bit more about some things in a bit. I got my Catalyst shirt on because I got a really cool shirt for Christmas last year, but Kendra stole it from me, so I forced her to buy me one this week. that sounds really horrible. Anyway, went down to this conference. It's a leadership conference in Atlanta, and you guys have been, I guess you could say, victims of me going to this conference because we have showed various videos throughout the last year or so that have come from there. And it was great, a wonderfully encouraging time. One thing I want to mention is sort of a commercial is that they have a one-day event that's around the country, and there's one coming to Lancaster in about a month and a half on November 15th. And it's a one-day thing. It's worship. Andy Stanley and Craig Rochelle, and we're going to watch Andy Stanley in just a bit here. But Andy Stanley and Craig Rochelle, and if you were part of the plant team, we all had to read through the book It, which was written by Craig. They're going to be there live in Lancaster, and it's a little steep, I guess. It's a great deal for a one-day conference, but it's going to be running, depending on how many we get, around $90 or so. And so I would love to invite all of you to be a part of this. Just to get a kind of an insight, see what MC3 is about more, and get some more as a team, as a group of people, as the church, growing and learning more about what it is that God has called us to do and how we're to do it. So it's November 15th. That's a Thursday. But again, I'd love to get people together and go down there. I'm going, whether they know it or not, the elders are going. And I'd love to take anybody else. My wife is going, and a bunch of other people are going already. It's going to be great, so I'd love for you to come and be there for that day. I can give you more details, and we'll talk more about it some more. But I wanted to just mention that, throw that out there now. It's going to be a great opportunity. But the reason I mentioned that, and just this past week, I've gone to this conference, like I said, 6 years in a row. And each year, like the first year, it was actually an accident. The pastor at the previous church I work at, we won free tickets to this conference, and we're like, okay, let's go. And I remember being there and just going, just blown away by, like, this whole new, I don't want to say view, but this whole new perspective idea that Christianity isn't about shiny perfectness and perfection and just kind of going through the motions. I saw some raw passion and some desire to do some things, and it just kind of shook me because I'm like, oh, that's not what Christianity is really about. These people are probably far from Jesus. Anyway, over the years, and I don't have time to tell you this whole story, but over the years, you know, each time we go back, like, I need more of this, I need more. And 2 years ago, and again, I'll share more of this after the video we're going to watch, but 2 years ago, I remember going to the conference and finally being at the point where I'm like, wow, I have to make some changes. Not just personally, but I mean vocationally. Some things have to be done differently, and again, I'll share more about this story after the video. But that was 2 years ago. And then last year, this time, of course, next week is our first year anniversary. So last year at this time, we went, and the Snooks and the Beamers and the Coopers went with us again last year. And we were, like, way neck, well, not neck deep. That would mean we could still breathe. We were way over our heads in this building right here that you are in. And the whole time going, wow, hope this thing works. Wow, this is exactly what we should be doing, but oh crap. I hope it's going to work. And, you know, there were crews here working all night while we were gone. And then this year, the cool thing about it was going to this conference and going, yeah, God is so faithful. And so it was just an encouraging week in that way, and just looking back. And so I want to talk to you this morning, and this is all part of the plan, because I knew I wasn't going to have time this week to prepare like I would want to. So we're going to watch a video, and I'm going to talk a little bit. But I want to talk this week. We're going through the series Go, and we're looking at different things that make us who we are as a church, not just as Mifflin County Community Church, but as the church in general, and what God has called us to do. And one of the things I want to talk about in this video we're going to watch is about change. Because change is important. And I want to read this verse to you, and then we'll come back to it afterwards. But I want to kind of get it out in front of you right now. And my Bible is a slightly different version, so I'm going to read it from the screen. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's writing, he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. He says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. He says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And again, I'm going to come back to this verse and share a little bit about some of my story today. But here you see Paul basically saying, you know what? He was a Pharisee previously, before Christ kind of miraculously came to him on the road to Damascus in a vision. He was blind, and it was kind of a crazy moment for him. And he was a Pharisee, so he's a Jewish person. And he says, when Christ changed me, I started doing things that weren't who I was. I started, you know, not kind of breaking away from my comfort and changing for the sake of reaching people with the message of Jesus. He says, I did this, you know, for people that were, they're Jewish. You know what? I put on my Jewish hat, and talked about the law, because he knew the law. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He was the king, you know, like the head of the Jews. He knew his stuff. He says, I was a Jew to them and explained Christ as a Jew to them. He says, to those people that were under the law, that were kind of following the law of Moses, I shared what Christ looked like through the law of Moses. He says, to those that didn't have the law, to the Gentiles, you know, I was like one that didn't have the law and was sharing with them that way. He says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And he says, I became all things to all people so that by all possible means I might win some, save some. And so here you have Paul, who was changing. And a church, and I know we're a year old church, and we're about to watch a video that you'll be like, what? Why are we start talking about this now? I want you to get out of your MC3 rut right now. We're not even a year old, and yes, I'm throwing that out there. Because church traditionally is where people don't want to change. And if we don't change, as we'll see, we're going to die. Both personally and as a church. If we are not constantly changing, constantly growing, constantly improving. And so this is the point for this week, short and sweet, as they have been lately. Change consistently, even when you don't want to. Now, there's a particular person who does not appear to be in this room right now, who does not like change, and she and I know that very, very well. And any little change is a big deal for her. And frankly, I guess if my wife was here, she'd be like, you're talking about yourself, because I don't really like change. She likes to rearrange the furniture all the time. I like to keep things the same. And here's the deal. Most of us, by habit, by nature, by comfort, don't want to change anything. We want things to stay the same. We want things for a couple reasons. One, it's easier not to change. You know, I mean, my wife is like, hey, let's redo this room. Dang it. Really? Paint, molding, you know, building something, I'm sure. But because it means I have to do some work. Now, so when I change, I have to do that. Another reason that we don't want to change is sometimes we're stuck in then. And I don't care what yesterday looked like. how awesome or amazing yesterday was, or last week, or last year. If we get stuck then saying, wow, that was great, we miss the fact that Jesus, that God says He makes all things new. He is constantly creating. He is constantly changing. And so we have to break out of this idea that says, well, hey, man, we know what to do. We got a garage. We got these chairs. You know, wow, let's do this. And if we're doing this, frankly, if what we do right now looks like what we do 5 years from now, we've kind of failed. We need to keep changing and keep adjusting. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch a video here. It's about a 15-minute video by Andy Stanley. And Andy Stanley is the son of Charles Stanley. If you grew up in church, you might have heard of him. He's also a Dallas Theological Seminary grad. So was I. So that makes me just as cool as him, right? I hear awkward chuckles. Anyway, this was actually at a Catalyst one day. A few years ago that they recorded this. And so this is sort of, again, it's not really intended to be a commercial. It just kind of happens that way that they happen to be in our state. But this is recorded there, and that's kind of what Catalyst One Day is. It's training and leadership and development about, you know, who are you as a church? So I want you to do that. But as you watch this video, it's going to be a segment. It's not the whole talk. So it's going to start cut off and it's going to end cut off. But he's going to talk about a couch, and he has such a powerful way of explaining the importance of change. Now, again, remember, he is not talking. It's not a sermon. OK, this isn't a point. He's talking to leaders about leadership. And so you might hear some things. You're like, what does he mean by that? But I think his concept is good for us as individuals, but even more so for us as a church. So watch Andy Stanley as he talks about the couch, and then I'll come back and share a little bit more with you. At this point in the worship experience, we watched that talk from Andy Stanley about Don't Be That Couch. Unfortunately, copyright rules prevent us from being able to post it online. If you go to mc3church.org on the point under the Go series and find the series talk entitled Change, we have a link there where you can watch a portion of this talk. We now pick up as that video clip ends. So, he talks about that couch idea. And obviously, you know, some of that was like, oh, why is he talking about programming and all that? I want you to know that I love my church. And when I say my church, I don't mean because it's, oh, you're the pastor of this church. I mean, I love who we are. I love what we do. I love it. I think it's amazing. I think it's incredible. I love the stories that each of you represent and how some of those, frankly, are just crazy. Some of those are insane. Some of those are stories that I tell people and they're like, what? And it's because God is doing some really cool stuff. But we as a church, we as MC3 can't say, yeah, oh, we're the ones that meet in the garage. They're MC3 family programming. The kids are learning the exact same thing as the adults are at the same time. And then they've got packs to go home each month. And as a family grow together and they're coming alongside the parents to help them raise their kids. I mean, that is awesome. That is good stuff. But we can't allow that to become our tradition. We can't allow that to become our, that's just the way we are thing. We're going to have to keep changing. And for some of you, frankly, probably for me the most, because I was part of developing this stuff, as we keep changing, that's going to change. Our mission isn't going to change, as he says. Our mission. We have a three-part mission, a three-part vision. It's all the same. There's all sorts of like billions of names out there, but I'm just making it one thing. Vision statement, mission statement. Our three-part mission. We are MC3. C3. So what is the first C? And if you don't know the mission, it means that the leader has failed to communicate it effectively. So, C1, we call that... Okay, now some of you have heard the person next to you, and you're like, oh, right, that's where he's going. So, C1 is called... Community. Community, as we look in Scripture, bringing people together. We can't do Jesus thing alone. We can't do church alone. We need other people. And that's why we have prime groups. And if you don't know anything, something to the first power is primed. And so for the sake of C1 community, we have prime groups. And that's where we want. And if you're not involved in the prime group, you need to get in a prime group. Yes, you need to be in a prime group. There's a sign-up sheet out there for some. You can talk to leaders. You can talk to me. Brian Van Sack right here is coordinating our prime groups this year and already is doing an incredible job for us. And so if you have questions, if you have a reason why not, I mean, I'm sure he will fix it. Whatever your reason might be, Brian will fix it. He's like, oh boy. But prime group. So then we have the second part of our process is C2, and we call this Congregation. Yeah. All right. Congregation. And that is where we, and this is based on Acts 2. This is based on how the early church first did church, that they spent time together learning and worshiping. And so you are part of congregation. You are in our worship experience right now. Congregation, gathering together as the church to worship. And then our C3, we call that caring. That you look at the early church, you look in Scripture, Jesus calls to care about other people. And obviously we've got what we call C3 opportunities and our ways for you to serve. And we've been doing this. I don't know if you guys know this, but you've been doing this for a year. It's been happening. We just haven't called it anything official. And obviously last week we canceled worship, the worship experience, so you could be out serving. And I've heard stories. I mean, there was a whole lot of stuff going on last weekend. You know, a huge move, roofing done, meals bought for that family that had the fire. There's other stuff. A lot of things happening. I can't remember all off the top of my head. And that was awesome. That was incredible because we were serving. And that's what Jesus has called us to do. And I don't want you to think, just as a kind of an aside, parentheses over here, if you think that now you need to wait till next year to serve again, then I have, again, failed. That was just an opportunity for us to do it together. You need to keep doing this stuff. We need to keep doing this prime groups and keep serving people and keep serving people and keep serving people. So that's our mission. That's who we are. That's our vision. That's our process. C1, C2, C3. It's a cycle. And part of that, we've seen the chart before. You know, it's loving God and loving others. We love God as we're worshiping Him here. And we love others through community and through caring. So anyway, the point is change consistently even when you don't want to. Here's our core value. We've been going through each core value that we have as a church. Now, our core values aren't they're sort of just kind of guidelines. If you think about, like, have you ever driven one of those cars at an amusement park? You know, that you drive and they've got, like, that rail. And, you know, I'm not talking about, like, go-karts where you could literally just fly off. But the kind of, like, the rinky-dink Model T-looking things you have at Hershey Park or something like that. They've got these rails. You think you're driving, but really, they're there to just kind of bounce you back in and keep you going along the course. And that's what core values do. They kind of guide us. And so if what we do doesn't line up with one of our values, then we need to think. But here's one of our core value this week that we're looking at is what we call differently. And, of course, they're all ending with Y. Last 2 weeks ago was outrageous generosity. This is differently. And differently, this is our core value, how it reads on our website. Change. Sometimes it takes different methods to reach people far from God. So we value taking risks by looking at things differently. That is our core value. As we talk as elders, we talk as our plant team, kind of putting this together, we wanted this to be on paper. Because somewhere down the road, and it might be next month, it might be 20 years from now, people are like, well, we've always done it that way before. We don't want to change. And we want to come back and say, no, you know what? Sometimes we have to change. And obviously, MC3 is different. You know, if you go around a church, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with other churches, but we're different from people around here. You know, our building is different. There's a start right there. What we do is different. How we do MC3 family is different. I mean, it's all different. We don't have tons of programs. We don't have tons of ministries. That's on purpose. That's different. And that's, some of that is risky. And so I want to just share two things, two cautions when it comes to change. As you look at, of course, Paul about making these, becoming all things to all people so that he might win some. That's kind of what we're doing. We are doing MC3, who we are, is so that, hey, maybe someone that would never set foot in a church anywhere else might say, all right, I'll check it out. Maybe you have a place, an environment where you can say, you know what? You have a tattoo? Well, come to our church because we got plenty of them. You know, I mean, and sometimes that's like, that's so silly, that's kind of shallow. Well, it kind of is, but it's the reality too, you know? We want to create a place where people feel comfortable. We want a place where people say, like, you know what? Raising kids is hard. And for some of you, it's hard. Some of you, it's hard, hard. Some of us, it's like hard, 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 hard. Other people, crazy, crazy people, it's like hard, 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 hard. And even more harder coming on the way, you know? Because it's hard. And so we want to say, hey, we're going to do things differently. We're going to come alongside the parents. It's not our job to raise your kids. It's your job. God gave you that responsibility, so we're going to help you with that. And so there's things that we do different. But I want to just caution you two things about change as I share a little bit in a moment here, too. I guess I'm sharing now. But the first caution, and I completely forgot to print out my notes, so I'm just sort of flying blind here. The first caution is change sets us up for failure. And I want to be openly honest about that. Change sets us up for failure. When you do something differently, you are opening the possibility of you failing. When you change from the way things are now and do something differently, it might not work the way you hoped. You might mess up. Now, sometimes if we don't change, we're going to be messed up already. We're already failing. But I just want to be real about that and say, hey, you know, as we change, as we do things differently, both as a church, but even in your own life, and we'll talk about it in a moment, but even in your own life, there are some times we're going to have to step out and do things that are unknown, that are different, that are risky. Our core value says we take risks. And some of those things are going to fail. But we need to be comfortable with that and say, you know what? I would rather risk failing than fail to risk. Ooh, I'm that guy from that show. Anyway, I'd rather risk failing than not actually accomplish anything. And so for like my own personal example, Kendra, we had a large wall, which is a fancy word for a big old black cabinet. But our wall held our TV in the corner of our living room. And it had been there for, I don't know, man, it was before Cara was born, so she's 9. So probably about 8 years at the time, we had this wall holding our TV and our stereo stuff. And so Kendra was like, you know what, I think I want to do something different. And so she had this idea for building a wall-o bookshelves, yes, that way. And she wanted to put this wall-o bookshelves on, and we talked like, oh, I don't know. And I'm thinking, okay, now I have to build those things. But anyway, it turns out last year for Christmas, I bought her a Lowe's gift card to say, we're going to go buy the lumber. We're going to make this wall-o bookshelves work for you. And we built this. I got all the lumber. We designed it, figured out where we were going to put it. Went to the garage, cut the wood down, sanded it, shaped it, got the dimensions right, and then stained it. She said, "I want it to match our floor. We have dark mocha-colored hardwood floor, and she wanted to match our floor. So I stained this whole thing, and you know, my fingers turned brown for the next week and a half staining. I actually used gloves, but that didn't work. And we stained this whole thing, and I worked. And this is again, this was December. She got the gift card, so this is January. Our garage is separate from our house; it's detached and it's not heated. And so I'm in there with a big old jacket, and, you know, all this trying to do. And the staining, aside from the fume issues, because I didn't want to open the door to make it even colder, so we stained this whole bookshelf and got it all ready. And then I went in and borrowed Eric's nailer, which was awesome because that thing could shoot nails all over the place, which I ended up doing and had to pull tons of them out. But I put this whole thing up on the wall, and I'm like, it's done. And Kendra's like, I don't like the stain. It's too dark for the floor. I'm like, what? Yeah, it doesn't. It's too dark, and I would have to agree. I mean, it just made like it looked like there was just a lot of bookshelves, and it was just dark over on that side of the room. And so we, after all that, I mean, it wasn't all that expensive to buy stain, but we ended up having to go to Lowe's and buying this like super stain blocker primer that was like $50 for an ounce, you know. The guy's like putting droppers in. It's like, that's $100. And so we ended up painting, priming the whole thing. And she paints, so she did most of the painting. But it was one of those things where we stepped out and tried this thing, and we failed. But we learned, okay, we wanted this, and now it's orange, bright orange. And most of you are like, what? It actually looks kind of cool. But change, when we step out and we risk changing, sometimes we're going to fail. And as a church, when we step out and say, you know what? This is something we've been doing well. And I don't know what it is. I don't want to say, like, we've got to change just because we have to change. I don't want to just say, let's change something. So all the chairs are going to be turned the other way next week. If there's a reason to turn all the other chairs, like, say there's a wedding in here next week, which there will be, then we'll probably change things because there's a reason to change. But I want you to understand that when we do that, some things are going to fail. We're going to step out and do some things. And we've already learned from some mistakes over this past year and a half or so, where things we have done failed. And that's the thing. There's risk in there. And what Paul says in this verse, he says, and this is the crazy thing, I don't know if you miss it there, if you know this passage or not, but he says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Not all. So in essence, Paul there were times where he'd made some changes. He did things. He was caring, trying to meet people where they are, and he failed. And if you could look at this in sort of a modern context, it's sort of like if you had a friend, if you knew somebody and you wanted to communicate them, and say they were from Mexico, it would be most effective to communicate to this person to speak Spanish. It probably wouldn't, unless they know English, it probably wouldn't be very effective to speak English. It certainly wouldn't be effective to speak Japanese. And that's kind of what Paul is saying. He says, to the right people, I spoke in their language. So MC3 is obviously, we want to reach the next generations. And I say that because I'm old in this crowd. And I want to keep reaching the younger people. I love the fact that we have a 9-year-old or 8-year-old, how old is he? 9? A 9-year-old that develops our trailer. That trailer for Go was a 9-year-old. I want to keep cutting, going to the young people, keep moving forward with youth. And someday I'm going to be really old, like Scott. And and we need to keep moving forward. But we are obviously, we're trying to reach a certain generation. I talk about the YouVersion Bible app. That's because we're talking about new people. We do video. You understand? We're speaking in a language on purpose. And so sometimes we're going to have to keep changing that. There's going to be things. I mean, I've talked to Kyle. Like, I thought I knew teenagers. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. You guys are weird. I don't know if I'm just getting old, but teenagers are kind of weird now. Before they weren't when I was one, but now, of course, they are. And so we're going to have to keep changing and doing things that maybe we're not even comfortable with. And sometimes by doing this, it's not going to work. Sometimes failure is going to happen because there's risk involved in change. And I just want to just tell you that. There's going to be things that, it's not going to work. I mean, there are tons of people involved in what we do. And next week we're going to talk more about, or 2 weeks, we're going to talk more about how you can kind of plug into what we're doing here as well. But there's a lot of people working really hard at a lot of things. And I think we're doing some amazing stuff. But there's going to be points where some of those amazing things, that did not work. And there's going to be times where we're just going to realize that and then move on. But we're going to keep changing. The tendency is when we fail is we stop. Like, whoa, I don't want to risk anything else now. And then all of a sudden, we're on an old nasty couch wondering why no one else wants to sit on it. So I just want to be open with that sometimes change sets us up for failure. The second caution about change is that change sets us up for growth. If you are not changing as an individual, if we are not changing as a church, we are not growing. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about spiritual growth. Think about, for example, there's a number of babies in here. If your son did not change, he would be he would require a lot of work as an adult. But change requires growth. His fingers are going to get longer. His brain is going to grow. He's going to learn how to communicate. His body is going to change. We are all in the process of changing. And we love that as kids. We love it as teenagers. We hate it as adults, especially older ones. We start changing and things don't look quite as firm and unsaggy as they once used to. But we're all changing because that's part of the process of growing. When you look at a caterpillar going into the chrysalis, changing into a butterfly, metamorphosis. I mean, that's the obviously clear example of change. Plants change. If you have a plant in your house or out in your yard, and if it is not growing, there's a word for that. Dead. If your plant is not growing, it is dead. If we are not changing, then we're dead. If we're not growing, if we're not changing, and the same thing as a church, that if we're not willing to step out and make some changes and do things differently, and I say this because I find myself already there. It'll be a year next week, but I find myself thinking, well, I don't want to change that. And, with his old couch story, there was a lot of work put into some of the things. We have already, and you guys probably don't even know this, and we're going to get this out to you sooner than later, but we've already changed ignition. It was a very dramatic change from last year to this year in what we're doing Ignition. Because we saw, hey, that was really cool. They put a lot of work into what was going on, but it wasn't quite as effective. So we had to make some changes. And so we made changes, and it's very different now, and I think it's a good change. And so there's things that are changing, and we have to keep changing so that we can grow. You as an individual have to keep changing so that you can grow. And changing sometimes might mean getting rid of something that you're comfortable with. It might mean changing, something large drastically because you've got some sin that you're struggling with. But we need to change or we're not growing. And that's what Paul was saying here. He says, you know, at the end, he says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. He says, you know what? Because I'm being all things to all people, I get to be part of the privilege of seeing people connect with God for the first time. I get to be a part, experience people becoming Christ followers. He gets to baptize people that are following Jesus. He gets to share in that because change sets us up for growth. And so that's just two kind of things about this whole concept. And I know you're like, this is really churchy and not really about me. And that's okay. I just want you to get that out there now. So you just, frankly, so you can hold me accountable. So you can say, hey, you know, that thing we've been doing isn't quite working. Are you thinking about changing it? And, you know, hopefully I'll say, you know, we've been working on that for a long time. And we just had a conversation in the van ride back yesterday about some things that we need to change. And I'm like, dude, I've been on it for like 5 months. I'm trying to get it, but there's a lot of things going on right now. And not that it's the best excuse, but I, at least I'm aware of that. We're trying to make some changes on things. And so that's kind of just some things to know. That change is risky. When you step out, things are going to be, you don't know what's next. But without changing, you can't grow. If you are not changing, if Jesus and Scripture talks about being renewed day by day, being changed. Jesus is making us every day. The fancy word is called sanctification. Every day, making us more and more and more and more like Jesus. And sometimes we slip and fall back. But Jesus is still changing us. And we sang, forever I am changed by mercy. Jesus changes us. So, change consistently even when you don't have to. I want to just share, I've got like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes here. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. And some of you are in my story, okay? You're like right beside me. You could tell the story I'm about to tell you. But next week is our 1 year anniversary, and there's a lot of cool, seriously, you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be a lot of fun, and not just fun, but I think there's going to be some powerful spiritual moments that are going to happen as well in this. But I don't have time next week to tell you, so I'm going to tell you the whole story. So I'm going to tell you some of it today. But basically, here's where it was. I mean, I share with you how 2 years ago I went to this conference to Catalyst and was really like, things need to change. And I've been there. I've had some major shifts. I've been a youth pastor at a church in town. I was there for 10 years. And probably about, I don't know, like 4 years into it, me and our youth staff, we hit a wall because we were trying to do all this stuff and events. And we had like a major event every month. And then we had our Sunday morning Sunday school, and we had our Wednesday night thing, and there was a Sunday night thing. And we were just killing ourselves and our kids. And we finally hit a point where I'm like, I'm either going to quit or we need to make some changes. And so we made some drastic changes to the way we did youth ministry. And some people that were part of the process, you know, were like, yeah, amen, it's about time, come on, brother. And other people were like, but that's not the way it was done before. And that was hard. And so I've made, you know, we made some changes there. But going on, there was this kind of growing angst in me. And this story is, I was sharing it with the people in the van yesterday, that when I came to Mifflin County, I came here through my wife's youth pastor who grew up around here. And I love the fact that I had a job. I was out of seminary, graduated with my master's degree. And I came here through this guy, and we interviewed, and we're like, wow, dude, I get to be a pastor. And let me tell you, I got paid pretty good money for a youth pastor. And I don't say that because, I don't know, not that I have it now. But then, it was really good money, and it was a great job, and I love the fact that I wore a suit every Sunday morning and got to stand up on the platform and do the announcements. And sometimes I got to pray, you know, and eventually they let me preach, and then they were like, oh, boy, I don't know if we want that to happen again. There were some train wrecks, I will tell you that. Like, if you, there's nothing worse than preaching and being bored yourself. Like, I'm boring myself as I'm teaching these people. But I love that. And one thing that I didn't love, and if you're going to, like, take this out of context and tell other people, then I guess that's fine, but please don't. The thing that I didn't love was Mifflin County or its people. Because I'm a city boy. I'm still a city boy. I joked about it a couple of weeks ago. Ruralness, whatever you call it. That was not my thing, okay? It just okay, I'm just not into this. I don't like the fact that, I mean, we would go to State College all the time because it at least gave us a little bit of like, okay, city, all right. I didn't really care about Mifflin County. You know, I love my job. I love that I got to do the thing. I love that I had a title, Sean D. Fitch, Pastor of Youth Ministries. It's awesome. That's long. You know, I wasn't just youth pastor. I was pastor of youth ministries. And so I had this awesome title to go along with it. And I loved doing that thing. I loved doing the church thing. I had no dreams ever of wanting to leave youth ministry. I love students. I still love them today, even though they're weird. But I love that, and I wanted to do that, and I love doing the church thing and being there Sunday morning and have people coming up to me and saying, Pastor, you know, your prayer was so wonderful. And I'm like, I know. I didn't say that to them. And I don't want to say that I was a complete jerk. But I just really didn't care about the people as much as I cared about my job and my position. And the crazy thing is that, well, I tried to resign. There were some changes in leadership there, and I actually resigned and went to Texas to interview for a position down there. And they actually offered me the job. And as Kendra and I were driving back, we had been there at this other church in town for a year. And as we were driving back, we saw the for sale sign on our front step. And she'll say it's differently, but we just started bawling and said, I can't do this. I can't leave yet. And they were offering me even more money as a youth pastor. And I just, you know, we just knew we had to stay. So we were able to work some things out, and I continued to be involved, do the church thing. And about, well, I guess it started with Catalyst a few years ago, going, wow, there's something different out there. And when I said wow, it was sort of like, these people can't be following Jesus. You know, they can't be following Jesus because there's no suits, no dresses, so they're obviously not following Jesus. You know, their music was a little loud, and sometimes they did songs by secular people. Secular. They weren't Christian songs. I'm like, what? This isn't right. And anyway, it kind of opened my eyes, and I guess, as a long story longer, God just began shaping something in me. He began changing the way I see church. He began changing the way I see the way I see church and the way it looks. And I started to realize, you know, there's some things that we do that don't really line up with the way it was done in Scripture. And we can say that right now. I mean, there's some things right now that we do that don't quite line up with Scripture. You know, we have some liberty there. But I just was like, there seems to be something missing. And I've got my good job. I get to wear a tie. You know, and things just kept changing in me to the point where I was very discontent with what church looked like. And I even went home, and my parents sometimes listen to this, so Mom and Dad, I love you. But I even went home to my home church, and I'm like, I don't like this. You know, I grew up in that church, and I'm like, this is, and nothing changed. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. But it was just like, this is just playing the game, doing the thing, but not really following Jesus. Please don't get me wrong. These people love Jesus that I'm talking about in all these churches. I'm not saying that. But for me, there was something that needed to be different. And the crazy thing, too, is that God started making me fall in love with you guys. with Mifflin County and the people here and the brokenness here. And God started opening my eyes that, you know what? These people, they need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Not just the people in the church. I wanted to do church for people in church. That was easy. It was clean. It ended on time. You know, there were no extra phone calls. There were no late night visits. There were none of that. I was like, okay, I can do this thing because everybody looked great on Sunday morning. And so I was involved in this thing, and God just really started changing me and just changing my heart for church. And I told you about Crazy Love. That book by Francis Chan just really like rocked me because I realized that I was just doing the game thing. And so I got to this point about 2 years ago, and it was at Catalyst after, I forget who was speaking, and I turned to Kendra, and she's like, what? And I'm like, I know this is going to sound crazy. And it sounded crazy to me. I think God wants us to plant a church. And she's like, oh, great, where? Mifflin County. And we're like, gulp, swallow. Okay, and we begin a process, and I don't want to get into all the details of all that, but we begin a process of becoming a church plant, and things didn't go exactly the way we planned, and to that point, it got to an issue about, well, when was that, last April, March, something like that, 2 years ago, and I was basically given the option of, you can kind of continue to do what you're doing here or resign because it's not going to work as a, there was a daughter church talk and all that. And so I was like, I need to do this. I am compelled not by the desire for a cooler title, not by the desire for great riches, but because God is calling me to do something. And again, some of you, and it's crazy the stories that happen about people that would just randomly come up to me, and many of you are in this room, randomly came up to me a couple of years ago and said, so what do you think about how we need to really reach out as a church? I'm like, what? And just, why would you say that to me, knowing what God is doing, not knowing what God is doing in my heart? And so all this stuff started to change. And let me tell you, there was a point where we had to step out. I resigned. I was given 3 months of pay that I could kind of transition myself out of that position. And there was a whole lot of risk in this change. We have 4 children. There's a whole lot to step out and say, oh God, I hope you're calling me to do this, because if this is my own thing, I'm in serious, serious trouble. But as we stepped out and said, things have to change, God just started doing some stuff. It was risky. It was scary. And then last year, like I said, we went back to the conference, and you know, I don't know how much my mind was even on the conference, thinking about all that had to be done back here. But going this year, and I, not that the conference is like, you know, the Holy Spirit shows up in like the tabernacle and I can see the pillar of fire or anything like that. But it's just been a milestone for us. And going back now saying, wow, I'm so glad we did that. Because I say I, but there are so many of you that when you said, okay, Sean, I'm with you, you took some heat, and some of you took way more than heat. Some of you lost some very close friends because of your willingness to step out and to risk and to change, because we knew that there was something that had to be done for the sake of the next generation. We knew we had to do this thing. And so we did. We stepped out. We went without pay for I don't know how many months we didn't get paid. And we stepped out and just did this thing and saying, God, you need to come through. You're calling us to do this. And God came through. God showed up, and right now, I mean, I could just tell your story and your story and your story and your story and your story, and I am thrilled to death that God called me to do this, because there are people's lives, and we're not done yet. We're not even a year together, and God is changing people, and God is going to keep changing people, and He's going to take people that say, you know what, there is nobody that could ever accept me, and I will say, yes, there is. There is a God that loves you. There is no church that would ever want me to come through their doors. And I say, yeah, we'll take you. Ooh, but hey, we'll still take you. We love you. And we have created something that is so amazing. And so this idea of change leads to growth. It does. Because I've seen so many things and just watched God work in amazing ways. And I know you can tell your stories. And let me just kind of throw this out there. Next week, you're going to have an opportunity to write down. We want to have a way of keeping track. You're going to have an opportunity to write down, what have you seen God do over the last year through MC3? Maybe it's your story. Maybe it's your story with somebody else. And we're going to have a way for you to do that. And if you have a bunch of them, that's fine. We're going to keep writing these things down because we want to have a way to keep to remember all that. So be thinking now. You're like, what have you been seeing God do? Start writing it down. And then we'll give you a chance to be a part of what I think will be a pretty spiritual and significant moment in the life of our church. But I just wanted to share that with you, kind of a little bit about my story, where we've come. And there's so much more to it. But I just want you to get that we had to change. We had to step out. Church, in my mind, had to change. And, I mean, what we're doing here is really normal. I got to tell you, in a lot of the rest of the country, there's like, oh, yeah, we've been doing it like that for like 15 years. But there was a group of people that needed to be reached, and there's still people that need to be reached. This series is go. And I said a few weeks ago, Jesus thinks you've got what it takes. He thinks you can do it too. You are part of the story. You are here to share with other people, and we need to keep changing. And as a church, there are going to be old, there are going to be couches that are going to start to get old and smelly, and we're going to say, you know what? We need to change because we need to keep reaching people. And we're going to be doing things that we might not have been done before because we want to reach people. That is a story not about me, not about many of you that have been part of this journey from the very beginning, but about what God has done. And it's going to continue to be about what God has done. And I'm so thrilled that he's been doing this. I can't tell you how scared out of my mind I was to do this. I mean, I don't think, and Kendra, you know, I was scared. She was like way beyond that. Because she's like, okay, I'm following you. But I can't imagine looking back and seeing, what if we hadn't? What if I stayed comfortable? What if I hadn't risked? And frankly, some of you right now in this room would have very different stories to tell. And I'm not saying this for me because, oh, look how great he is because he stepped out in faith. I'm saying, look what God has done. And sometimes it's going to cause us and require us to do things that we're not comfortable with for the sake of winning some, for the sake of reaching some. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that this is not my story. That this isn't the story of Andy Stanley or a couch, but that this is your story. The story that you are working in and through each of us. And that the church isn't Sean Fitch, lead pastor. The church isn't the elders or the people in leadership. We are all the church. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are the bride of Christ. We are called the church. And so I pray, God, that in our individual lives and as a church, you would help us to change. To change to become more like Jesus as Christ followers. And as a church, to change when we need to so that we can continue to reach people in your name. I thank you that you, frankly, became man. Changed from the comfort, I guess, I don't know, I haven't been God. But from what heaven has been, the presence of the triune God, and came down as a man to die for us so that we might be forever changed. Help us to continue to be people that change. Help us to be a church that changes. And God, I pray you would continue to reach people in the name of Jesus Christ, not for the sake of adding another row of chairs, but for the sake of a heart that has been transformed by the love of God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.